into this thing, or you would never let it happen. And I know you would. But it's gonna happen. Either way, he's going. I know how you feel, Frank. Trust me, I know how you feel. I told you before, we tried everything to help him. You know that. You tried. He brought this on himself. And it's landing on us. The only reason they agreed to this was out of respect to me. But you and Rainey will be okay, because you're with me.
Hello. Listening to the TV Zone podcast. My name is Christian, and here tonight are, well, yeah, my guests. Well, guests as of right now, Jay and Chantel. Hey, Chantel. Well, okay. Hey, Jay. How you doing?
How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. Yeah.
Good.
It feels good to be a guest for once.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to take all the notes and shit. Though there is one thing I would like you to focus on, perhaps, if you're willing to. I am no expert, but tonight's show is about the recent Golden Globe nominations. As you all know, Golden Globes are kind of like the drunken cousin of the Oscars and the Emmys, I guess. I feel like the people who do the Golden Globe voting really just want to see the biggest stars available. So, and yeah. Which they do. And really what the Golden Globes like to do is they like to get all the biggest stars in the room, get them good and liquored up, and then send them on the stage. If you notice, a lot of I remember, oh, God, like, that's the thing. It's like, I'll never forget, like, 2010. Mind you, Natalie Portman was pregnant for this, but Natalie Portman won for Black Swan, and she gave a speech that is not an Oscar-winning speech. And I say that because it just felt really uncomfortable and inappropriate, almost like she didn't know she was totally going to win, even though she totally was. So, and like Christian Bale, I remember went through that same year and he was just trashed. My God. But that's the thing. It's like what is the reason why the Golden Globes is worth mentioning, though, is because it does sort of set the stage for the Oscars, which is kind of like my Super Bowl. And because I don't give a fuck about football. But the Golden Globes, really, like, it's not totally accurate of what is going to come, but it does, it is sort of a forecast. Yeah. Like, you, at last year, for example, you know, most of us award pundits went into the night thinking, okay, this is going to be a Best Director and Picture split between Roma for Best Director and A Star is Born for Best Picture. And man, did that shit blow up in our face whenever A Star is Born was done dirty entirely. And apparently the best movies of last year were Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book. So,
yeah.
And that's the thing that I thought to myself, this is just the Golden Globes, you know, being drunk. No, they were right. Those were the big winners on Oscar night. And, yeah, Roma, too. Like, Roma made a big splash. It won Best Director. But those three movies were the big winners. So, and I guess it's too early to tell what will win, but I certainly have my predictions. But the Golden Globes cover both movies and television. Jay, what did you think of the television nominations? I have a couple opinions myself, but I am no expert compared to some.
Well, I won't call myself an expert either, because I don't watch as much television as some people that I listen to, as far as in the podcasting mm-hmm. world. But I kind of stay, you know, up to date with certain shows that I was not watching anything like this. So I was a little surprised with a few shows getting completely snubbed, like a Game of Thrones, even though the final, but I mean, it's the final season, and whether it's good or bad, the final season of shows always get nominated, but
yeah, they didn't. Yeah, it's true. It's like an honorary thing, but
yeah.
I just now realized that wasn't nominated. I also heard Veep, which people really love. I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's won multiple awards. Was not on the board.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And what's even weird about it is that every year, Peter Dinklage would always get nominated, right? This year, mm-hmm. he doesn't get nominated, but Kit Harington did. And it's like, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, interesting, because Peter Dinklage's acting in this was really good.
It was. I mean, Jon Snow, I mean, well, Kit Harington, he was good this season, but, I mean, Dinklage has always been the standout acting-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he was terrific. So, was Emilia Clarke up there?
Nope. The only nomination that the show got for the Emmys, Golden Globes, I'm sorry, was Kit Harington for Best Actor. That was it.
Well, one thing I will say is that I have noticed, and I've only noticed this since I've gotten relatively into TV, is that the Golden Globes and the Emmys do not match up.
No.
They're going to do their own thing, and that's going to be that. Like, I know that... whatchamacallit, for example, Big Little Lies was a huge hit at both of them, yep. as it should have been. But, you know, like, you don't always find that sort of thing. I know one snub in particular. Actually, I have a couple. I call myself an HBO snob. It's the only television I actually watch. But I was pretty baffled when I discovered Mahershala Ali was not nominated for True Detective.
Yeah. Now, what's weird about, I mean, we'll talk about it later too, but he was nominated for the SAG Awards, but he wasn't nominated.
I noticed that.
For the Golden Globe.
Yeah. Not nominated for the Golden Globe. How do you miss that? Like, to me, that was phenomenal. I think that's better than both of his acting Oscars combined. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had a tough role to play. I mean, not only you're playing one character, yes, but you're playing the character at three different points in his life.
It's crazy. I mean, he was marvelous. I remember just being so gripped by his character alone. Like, even like the mystery at the center of it was pretty compelling, but he was really remarkable in that. I don't get it. But what else?
It's one of those anomalies. Two others that I know where a lot of people was kind of scratching their heads about. One, I understand a little bit, even though it should have been, but I kind of understand why it wasn't, and that's Watchmen was not nominated at all. I kind of understand that because it came, you know, late, even though by the time the Golden Globes, you know, air and everything, the show will be over because the final episode is this Sunday because it's only nine episodes.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand why that wasn't nominated, but one
I was... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wasn't sure if that, like, maybe I was just trying to make an excuse for them. I was wondering if that wasn't nominated because maybe the Golden Globe voters hadn't seen the whole thing.
I don't think you have to see the whole thing to get okay. nominations for it.
I didn't know, because so. Then I noticed it was nominated at the Screen Actors Guild, yep. wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, see, like, what the fuck?
Yep.
They just missed the boat. What's the other nomination?
Well, the other one was, the other snub that a lot of people was kind of questioning is one that was big at the Emmys, and that is When They See Us, the Netflix.
I've heard that's terrific.
That. Yeah, so that's another one, and people was kind of thinking like, is it because of the subject matter, and they don't really want to, you know, have that all over this show, maybe, so instead we're not going to nominate it.
I wonder if it was because it came out so early in the year. I don't know. I don't really know what else could justify that sort of thing.
I could have kind of like
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, maybe so. But I could have sworn that it was on around the same time as Big Little Lies. I could have swore it was. I'm not sure.
Oh, was it? Okay, I don't think so.
I
didn't hear about that show until it was at the Emmys. Because I'm not a TV person.
Yeah.
But in Big Little Lies, I am, of course, I love that it was recognized. Though there is one actress in particular I think should have been. I know, Meryl Streep is up there, and you know what? I'm telling you, she's gonna win it, and she should. She should win it. she'll be nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a TV Series at the Oscars. It's a new category just set aside for Meryl Streep's performance in that show. It was that good, though, let's be honest here. that's funny. I was going to say, I do think there was somebody snubbed for that show, though. And this person was also nominated at the Golden Globes anyways, so it's not like it really matters. But I think Laura Dern really fucking killed it in season 2. Like, her character ends up being your favorite because she steals every single moment she's in. Like, as soon as she goes away, you're almost like, aw. Like, and every storyline on Big Little Lies is really compelling, but Laura Dern's Renata Klein is the character that about runs away with the show, but Meryl Streep's Mary Louise is the one that certainly gets under your skin, and I think that's kind of what they're going for as well. But I do think they'll make up to it, or they'll make up for Laura Dern snubbing that night, and I'll get to that later. Any other snubs?
I mean, like I said, I'm still kind of baffled by Game of Thrones not being nominated for, you know, anything. Because, I mean, people can feel how they want to feel about how the final season went.
Yeah, but, and they do.
Yeah, but you can't say that it wasn't well acted.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that
across the board.
Yeah. So for you know, Dinklage to be nominated, Emilia Clarke, I felt like she should have been nominated just for that.
Yeah, she was great.
I mean, the way she turned from being, you know, the lovable Daenerys into, you know, this, you know, she was basically the Mad Queen in the
end. Yeah. Yeah, and she was. It could have used better development, but at the same time, yeah, it was still a good performance.
Well,
nonetheless,
those fools
I was afraid of her.
The series, so.
Yeah, I was afraid of her by the finale. Like, that's good. That's what she wants. That's what, like, that was the goal. But yeah, I think that's a damn shame. But okay, if you got anything else about TV?
No, that's pretty much it as far as that. I mean, like I said, I understand why Watchmen. I mean, I feel like Watchmen should be nominated. It should have been nominated because there are some damn good performances on there.
Mm-hmm. I think the Emmys will make up for it. But that being said, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I know you and I are both one of the few fans, which I hope that show gains its traction someday, but that show wasn't nominated for Dick either. So, and I don't know if people know this, but The Leftovers is also created by Damon Lindelof, who is the current creator of Watchmen.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Maybe the Emmy voters will give Watchmen more of a chance.
But the problem, so there's this rumor, and I don't know how true this is, because, you know, Lindelof, he likes to play with people's minds.
So yes.
Apparently, the season finale is also supposed to be the series finale.
The series finale, yes. And he said that he wrote it as one season.
Yeah. But he did say if someone else wants to continue it on, he has no problem with it.
Oh.
And if you remember with The Leftovers.
The Leftovers was, the book was the first season, and continued it with Tom Baroda. So, yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe he, I'm assuming he can find the material there. I mean, I've seen 4 out of the 8 episodes, which I know that's, you know, hack work, but, there's certainly a lot of material to mine from Watchmen. So, who knows? They might do it. They might.
We'll see, but I mean, he did the same thing with The Leftovers, because, like you said, the first season was based off of the book, and that was supposed to be the end.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, HBO said, no, we want more.
So I don't see how that could have been the end. I mean, like, because that's the thing, that, like, as good as the first season is, that show only gets better. Yeah. I personally like the second season the most. I thought that was the most gripping shit I have seen ever.
and who shows up in season 2? That that's currently with Lindelof new show.
Regina King.
There you go.
And she, there is a scene. We cannot get off topic too much, but there is a scene between Regina King and Carrie Coon.
Yes.
Regina King is talking about how her grandmother, like, had this superstition in which she would bury something in the woods. And to me, like, the acting all around in that scene was the best I saw on that show. And everybody in it was pretty great.
I'm not one that gets emotional watching TV shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, in the third season, when Kevin, he finds, you know, Nora in, you know, in Australia.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, they're all old now, right?
Uh-huh.
And then at that little party, whatever, and the Otis Redding song is playing, and when they dance, and then she leaves, because, you know, it's like, how did you find me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm on vacation. You know what? Yeah. And then she's like, no, that's not true. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just some of the best acting that you will ever see. And that, it's like with Watchmen, it's the same thing. You just find yourself engripped with the show, and it can't be the end.
With the characters, they're all so well done. Like, God, I love that shit. There is one other show I want to mention. And it's a show whose subject matter might be too inappropriate for some. You know, they might find it tasteless or what have you. But I at least think there is a performance that could have been recognized. And correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'm just pretty sure it isn't. But I'm referring to Euphoria and Zendaya's performance in particular. I mean, she is holding the show together. And I don't know if the Emmy voters will go for it, but they should at least nominate its cinematography for being as gorgeous as it was. But Euphoria is excellent TV if y'all haven't seen it. It's kind of just like a teenager's gone wild kind of thing, but it's gripping as shit. Yeah.
Well, because I haven't watched it yet myself, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And like I said, I of course I know who Zendaya is and everything, but you know, I never really like paid attention to her as an actress. Like,
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
But from what I like, little scenes that I've seen here and there, especially, you know, if you got HBO, you're gonna see a commercial here and there.
Right? Yeah, you will.
For and that, so I mean, so I was like, this looks interesting. So I might end up checking it out.
It really is, and it's such a departure for her. You know, she was one of those Disney Channel people, and sometimes you see them in a show like outside of the Disney Channel and you're like, what are you doing? But she really sinks into that role. You believe every bit of it, and it's so entertaining and it's really funny. And I just love the style that it was done. I mean, I get why maybe not everybody, you know, was on board with it, but I think it's excellent. I can't wait for season 2. So, yeah. But okay. Well, if that's it for TV, Chantel should be clocking in here.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
She might pull
a Dr. Manhattan, you know, and just appear out of nowhere. Right?
She might. Yeah, I don't have a message from her, but it is 7:28. Well, if that's the case, mostly, if you know anything about me, I'm really into movies and shit. So, we cover the TV portion of the Golden Globe nominations, but now I'd like to focus on the movie section. And honestly, if you, what, like, okay, so Golden Globes have no interest in best sound editing and any of that. They like, look, and I actually do, and it's only because, like, I like seeing movies I enjoy win extra awards for shit that probably doesn't matter to everybody. But if, in some cases, I think it's worthy. You know, like, I think, from what I've seen this year, Ford versus Ferrari definitely deserves at least one of the sound awards because it was really well done. You know, I can appreciate these things for what they are, but the Golden Globes doesn't give a fuck about that. They care about the big picture. And so they narrow it down to how many categories? I don't know, maybe like 12 instead of the Oscars 24 with their, you know, oh, best animated short film and la-di-da. So, well, I guess we'll start with foreign language film, a category I don't usually focus on because I'm uncultured swine. But one thing I notice about this category is, and actually I notice what I'm about to say throughout a lot of these categories, but what I notice is what I like to consider category fraud. You kind of find this sort of thing throughout the Golden Globes because, like, you know, for example, everybody made a big fuss the year that, The Martian was nominated for Best Comedy. It has its funny elements, but it was also nominated against Trainwreck, Spy, and I'm thinking to myself, like, those are actual comedies.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas The Martian is like an adventure thriller with comedic elements. Like, it was a charming movie, but it's not a flat out comedy. And you find that sort of thing within the Golden Globes throughout. And what I'm pointing out in the foreign language film category is The Farewell. Because when I think of a foreign language film, I think of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or the obvious winner in this. Well, okay. Well, first off, I'll just read off the nominations. The nominees are The Farewell, Les Miserables, which this is not the Anne Hathaway movie. It was not so good that they're nominating it again. I don't think this has any songs in it. I just know it's supposed to be really good. Pain and Glory, which I've been hearing a lot of terrific things about lately. Parasite, which is a Korean film that I have seen. It's really amazing. Definitely going to be a big Oscar contender. And Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which, so I don't know if you know this about the foreign language Oscar category, but they, basically a country has to choose a movie that they're going to submit as, they can pick one movie. And in this case, France has chosen Les Miserables, but Portrait of a Lady on Fire is also a French movie. So Portrait of a Lady on Fire, regardless, will not be up for the Oscar. So you can pretty much count that one out. But where I say there's category fraud in this case is The Farewell. And normally when I think of a foreign movie, I think of like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, last year's Roma, Y Tu Mama Tambien. Mm-hmm. The Farewell has a lot of English speaking in it.
So it's basically like, kind of like the Joy Luck Club, where it's a foreign movie, but there's a lot of English in it.
Yes, exactly. Well, a good, like, 70% of the farewell is in English. Mm, it just happens to have a cast of, you know, Asians. So they, I guess, consider it a foreign movie. Whatever gets it on the board. I personally love the movie to death. I had tears on the surface for all, you know, 110 minutes of it. It's a great film. I'm glad it got recognition, but I don't really consider it a foreign movie.
Yeah.
But at the Golden Globes, I guess they can. Yeah, they can do whatever they want. Whatever. I mean, I'm pretty sure Gandhi was considered a foreign movie once, and that's also entirely in English. What do you, how do you feel about this?
I mean, of course I haven't seen any of these films because,
you know, I've seen two, and that's rare for me.
Yeah, but I mean, Les Mis, I mean, if you've seen one version, you kind of seen all versions, technically. So that kind of goes without saying, but one movie that's kind of been popping up, like on everyone's radar or whatnot, is this Parasite movie.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that one don't pull a shocker and actually win. You know, if it gets nominated for like Best Picture or something, like, don't be surprised if it wins Best Picture.
It will be nominated for Best Picture. I believe it, and it should be, because it's such a, it's really funny, and it's really funny, and it's really surprising, and yet it's real. Like, it's a brilliant movie. I think it is one of the three top contenders for Best Picture. And so I definitely think it has it in the bag to win Best Foreign Language Film. Because also The Farewell isn't a foreign language film. But if they consider it one, that gives the movie an extra nomination, and I'm okay with such a fact. So, yeah. But I think Parasite will definitely win. Pain and Glory, it has Antonio Banderas in it. It's directed by Pedro... How the fuck do you pronounce his name? It's like Aldemanivar. I probably totally fucked that up. But I keep seeing this movie topping everybody's 10 best lists. And so I keep wondering, like, I could have seen it, but instead I chose to see Parasite, and then it was gone. But I hear really great things about Pain and Glory, so who knows? But I think this is Parasite's to win, for sure.
And Pain and Glory has one of my favorites, Penelope Cruz is in it.
Penelope Cruz is in it?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that! But you know what? Penelope Cruz is also a frequent star in Aldemanivar's filmography. So, it makes sense. And so is Antonio Banderas. So, okay.
There you go.
I gotta see it. Hopefully it'll be playing at, like the cheap theater around me soon. Next is the nominees for Best Animated Feature. And... I'm groaning early because there is something in here that I find really funny. And it once again ties back to said category fraud. But here it goes. So the nominees for Best Animated Feature are Frozen 2, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, good movie, The Lion King, Missing Link, which I also really like, and Toy Story 4, which I love more than some people do. But now, I can't say there are any surprises here. I mean, thank God they didn't nominate something like that Addams Family movie. But the reason why I mentioned category fraud here, do you know what I'm thinking? Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All this Disney stuff?
Well, it's not quite the Disney stuff. It's more of the fact that And this is something we've all kind of been wondering about, and I feel like this category right here puts it to rest, even though it's still not technically right, even though it is. But I'm referring to The Lion King, because I find it funny that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association deemed this an animated feature, because it pretty much is, and that's what we've all been saying.
Oh, I thought they was nominating the 1994 version.
As they should have, because it was much better, and even though that category didn't exist back then. But here we are nominating it, even though it's a live-action movie. Yeah, a live-action animated movie. It makes no sense. And it ties back to why we all knew that movie was unnecessary from the get-go. There's no humans in it. It's just visual effects. And, you know, I find it funny that it's nominated for Best Animated Feature, but let's be real here. It isn't a very good one. I mean,
they could have just re-released the 1994 version
and nominated it again. Yes, because that's pretty much what they've done here. I mean, none of these other nominations come as a surprise. I'd
imagine
Toy Story 4 is the winner. I don't know, though. Who knows? They might say, fuck you, and give it to How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. It's a good movie. I mean, it's good. But The Lion King's nomination is certainly, it just adds to what we all knew, and that's that it was unnecessary.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I refuse to acknowledge it, really.
Yeah.
People say Lion King, I say, oh, the 1994 version? The 1994 movie, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't acknowledge, Simba's Pride, I will acknowledge that.
Yeah, I understand. It. I understand. Did you, what was I about to ask you? Fuck. Oh, have you seen the trailer for this new Ryan Reynolds movie that's coming out?
Was that the Freak, was it, some guy.
Yeah, right? Free Guy, I think it's called.
Yeah. I seen bits of it. I haven't seen the whole trailer, but I just seen like snippets of it.
At the start of the trailer, because it's produced by 20th Century Fox, it says, from the studio that brought you Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Lion King, twice. that was really funny. Because, yeah, they have. And, I mean, we did a whole Disney show about this. It's just uncalled for. But the fact that they, you know, consider The Lion King here as an animated feature adds to just how unnecessary it was all along. Especially because they, you know, it's a shot-for-shot remake, but it's longer and not as good.
So basically it's the...
You know.
Basically like Psycho.
Yep, that's pretty much what we can all compare it to, because... Yeah. In terms of a winner, I'd say it's probably Toy Story 4, but who knows? I'm probably wrong. I don't know. I don't know if people love it enough. I know I've talked to a lot of people who don't like it, and I can understand why they don't like it, but I love it, and I think it should win. Okay. Up next is original song. Oh, God. This category is something... It was kind of, I feel like they were scraping the barrel in some cases, and you'll know what I mean when I read off the first one. The nominees are Beautiful Ghosts for Cats, I'm Gonna Love Me Again by Rocket Man, Into the Unknown for Frozen 2, Spirit for The Lion King, and Stand Up for Harriet. So I think a lot of us have been wondering about Cats this award season. Well, okay, maybe we haven't. But I guess we were really just wondering how awful it was going to be.
And as it turns out, it's not awful enough to be left off the board. I mean, it has one nomination, at least, for a song written by Taylor Swift.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of the Rocket Man song, I can't picture what it is. I haven't seen Frozen 2. In terms of the Spirit song, I can't picture what that is either. But
It's Beyonce, so
yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, they're trying to get an Oscar.
That's the only way she was gonna be nominated.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't get an Oscar nomination to movies like Obsessed. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Pretty much. And then the last song is actually written, co-written at least, by the movie's star, Cynthia Erivo, who really broke out last year with her 1-2 punch of Bad Times at the El Royale and Widows. Yep. And I feel like, honestly, I don't know if there's a strong contender in this category, but I feel like it would be that. But I don't know if they look at that sort of thing, but at the same time, I don't know if any of these songs have made an impact enough.
I would say this, maybe not necessarily at the Golden Globes, but at the Oscars, if Stand Up is nominated, and depending on what songs they decide to go with there, because I'm pretty sure the Cat song is going to be nominated. I'm pretty sure Spirit is going to be nominated too.
But mm-hmm.
I feel that maybe Stand Up. But if they, but I'll say this: if they're trying to give freaking Beyonce an Oscar, freaking Spirit.
Well, I saw the movie and I can't picture a song in it. Well, I will say this though, and this could hurt somebody's chances here. I believe in terms of this category, the Oscars don't recognize a song if it plays during the end credits, which seems dumb as shit to me, but I don't know when Stand Up comes into the equation, but hopefully it's before the end credits start rolling, because maybe Cynthia Erivo will be recognized.
She get nominated, and she probably perform it live too.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't seen Harriet myself, but I
me neither.
Yeah, I can't picture a song.
Because I mean, if I could just go on this little mini tangent real quick.
Okay.
So and I can say this as a black person. I can say this. I'm kind of getting tired of these slave movies. I really am. I'm getting tired of these slave movies.
I saw the trailer for this movie, and I was like, A, I feel like we've seen this before, and B, it just seems like Oscar bait. You know, like the kind of movie where everybody got together, they formed a circle, and they go, going for the gold team. Like, it just, you know, you get that real feeling with some of these movies. I just kind of got that. That's why I didn't see it. But now that it's nominated, I'll probably see it.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, look, I'm glad there is a movie for Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, it's about
there hasn't been any, but
not starring Julia Roberts.
Oh my God.
People.
Or Scarlett Johansson. But,
I bet she knocked the shit out of that role.
But I mean, look, like I said, I'm glad the movie was made, because it's something different than what's normally always made. But at the same time, me personally, I'm just tired of seeing these freaking slave movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of these slave movies.
Yeah.
I really am. So I mean, if they decide to make a movie about Madam C.J. Walker, you know, or somebody like that, I would definitely check that out. Because, I mean, for anyone who don't know, Madam C.J. Walker is the first black millionaire. So
okay, yeah, do that shit.
That's an interesting story in itself, right there. It's something different than what we were either taught in school or what we just are always force fed when it comes to, unfortunately, black history in America or whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's why I say I'm tired of these freaking slave movies. So,
mm-hmm.
I really am. So, yeah.
Yeah. I understand. There is a lot of them. But yeah, I mean, well, so like, I feel like Cats is a disaster waiting to happen. There's no award nominations yet. But I will tell anybody who's really pulling for it that it's directed by Tom Hooper, who made The King's Speech and Les Miserables and The Danish Girl, and the Academy really eats his ass. So if you're all really excited for Cats, I can guarantee you it will probably be nominated for that reason alone. And all the Taylor Swift fangirls and my friend Bryce out there, you have that to bank on as well. Anyways, up next is original score. The nominees are Alexander Desplat, he feels like he gets nominated every year, because he does, but he's great at what he does. For Little Women, I don't know how the fuck to pronounce this name, but Hildur, I feel like there's like a crack in my screen, but no, there's just an accent mark over the O. Hildur Guana Doder. For Joker. Then let's go to a real white name. Randy Newman for Marriage Story. Thomas Newman for 1917, and Daniel Pemberton for Motherless Brooklyn. So I have seen three out of these five, and I love the score, and I was pleasantly surprised too, because I thought the score was so fucking good, for Motherless Brooklyn, which is not really an awards contender, didn't really take off, but I really thought that score was fabulous. And I love the score for Joker as well, and Randy Newman's score on Marriage Story is good, but if we're being honest here, we cannot snub Thomas Newman anymore. I won't allow it. The man has been nominated for 14 Oscars, and y'all do him dirty every year. He's like Susan fucking Lucci. Stop doing it. Give it to him. I know this movie is going to win a shitload of awards, especially in the technical categories. So just quit teasing him with this and just give it to him. Gah! You got anything?
No, I really don't have an opinion on this category.
Yeah, no. Nobody really gives a shit about the score, even though in some cases it makes the movie. And by some cases I refer to, like, John Williams' Jaws, you know, like, it. I mean... But, I even really love the score for Birdman. Those are just the first two examples I think of. But, in this case, I hope, because, you know, I'll tell you who else is involved in 1917, and it's somebody who's about to win his second, if I had to guess, Roger Deakins. And, you know, Roger Deakins and Thomas Newman frequently team up with Sam Mendes. Both of them were also involved and nominated for The Shawshank Redemption. That was both of their first nominations, and I feel like they were both cursed from that movie for some reason, getting nominated and robbed every year. And now Thomas Newman can finally have his day. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Alright, now we're getting to the good shit. No offense to Thomas Newman. Next is Best Screenplay. Now, the Oscars divides the screenplays up into two categories. The Golden Globes divides it into one. Which I guess they just combine the adapted and the original. So, in this case, our nominees are Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story, Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won for Parasite, Anthony McCarten for The Two Popes, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Steve Zaillian for The Irishman.
Let's see. Me personally, I think it would come down to Steve Zaillian and Tarantino, that's what I would say, but I don't, you know, I could see probably that freaking Marriage Story could probably sneak in there and win.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I know it's on Netflix.
It's a great movie. It really is. I mean, it should be seen. But, well, I mean, I honestly think 4 out of 5 of these stand a really good chance. And I feel like... Now, I feel like I know the obvious winner. But if it isn't this winner, then it's going to shape the Oscar race for sure. I feel like the obvious winner here would be Quentin Tarantino.
You think?
Oh, I would think. And I love Steven Zaillian's script for The Irishman. I think it's wonderful. But I also really love the script for Parasite. I also really love the script for Marriage Story. I feel like there is one here that doesn't stand a chance. Duh. And it's The Two Popes. This is also a Netflix movie. It comes out later on this month. But I, you know, the Golden Globes have a tendency to sometimes nominate the shit out of a movie that probably isn't much of a contender anyways. I haven't heard that much hype surrounding this movie. Who knows? I could be wrong, but I don't see it with this. I don't know. Just kind of popped up out of nowhere. And wasn't nominated for any of the Screen Actors Guild Awards, was it?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. I mean, I'm sure Anthony Hopkins will be nominated for the Oscar.
Oh, of course.
They love him. Yeah. And he hasn't done anything Oscar-worthy in ages, but he's Anthony Hopkins. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like any one of these could win, except for The Two Popes. I'm not really surprised by any of these either, because, I don't know, you have 5 scripts to choose from. I don't really know what they prefer, but the Oscars does things a different way, so, I don't know. Anyways, up next is Original Score. The nominees are Alexander Desplat, he feels like he gets nominated every year, because he does, but he's great at what he does. For Little Women, I don't know how the fuck to pronounce this name, but Hildur, I feel like there's like a crack in my screen, but no, there's just an accent mark over the O. Hildur Guana Doder. For Joker. Then let's go to a real white name. Randy Newman for Marriage Story. Thomas Newman for 1917. And Daniel Pemberton for Motherless Brooklyn. So I have seen 3 out of these 5. And I love the score, and I was pleasantly surprised too, because I thought the score was so fucking good, for Motherless Brooklyn, which is not really an awards contender, didn't really take off, but I really thought that score was fabulous. And I love the score for Joker as well, and Randy Newman's score on Marriage Story is good, but if we're being honest here, we cannot snub Thomas Newman anymore. I won't allow it. The man has been nominated for 14 Oscars, and y'all do him dirty every year. He's like Susan fucking Lucci. Stop doing it. Give it to him. I know this movie is going to win a shitload of awards, especially in the technical categories. So just quit teasing him with this and just give it to him. Gah! You got anything?
No, I really don't have an opinion on this category.
Yeah, no. Nobody really gives a shit about the score, even though in some cases it makes the movie. And by some cases, I refer to, like, John Williams' Jaws, you know, like it. I mean, but I even really love the score for Birdman. Those are just the first 2 examples I think of. But in this case, I hope Because, you know, well, I'll tell you who else is involved with 1917, and is somebody who's about to win his second, if I had to guess. Roger Deakins. Yeah, and, you know, Roger Deakins and Thomas Newman frequently team up with Sam Mendes. Both of them were also involved and nominated for the Shawshank Redemption. That was both of their first nominations, and I feel like they were both cursed from that movie for some reason, getting nominated and robbed every year. And now, Thomas Newman can finally have his day. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Alright, now we're getting to the good shit. No offense to Thomas Newman. Next is Best Screenplay. Now, the Oscars divides the screenplays up into two categories. The Golden Globes divides it into one. Which I guess they just combine the adapted and the original. So, in this case, our nominees are Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story, Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won for Parasite, Anthony McCarten for The Two Popes, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Steve Zaillian for The Irishman.
Let's see. Me personally, I think it would come down to Steve Zaillian and Tarantino. That's what I would say. But I could see probably that freaking Marriage Story could probably sneak in there.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I know it's on Netflix.
It's a great movie. It really is. I mean, it should be seen. Well, I mean, I honestly think 4 out of 5 of these stand a really good chance. And I feel like... Now, I feel like I know the obvious winner. But if it isn't this winner, then it's going to shape the Oscar race for sure. I feel like the obvious winner here would be Quentin Tarantino. I would think. And I love Steven Zaillian's script for The Irishman. I think it's wonderful. But I also really love the script for Parasite. I also really love the script for Marriage Story. I feel like there is one here that doesn't stand a chance. Duh. And it's The Two Popes. This is also a Netflix movie. It comes out later on this month. But the Golden Globes have a tendency to sometimes nominate the shit out of a movie that probably isn't much of a contender anyways. I haven't heard that much hype surrounding this movie. Who knows? I could be wrong, but I don't see it with this. I don't know. Just kind of popped up out of nowhere. And wasn't nominated for any of the Screen Actors Guild Awards, was it? I don't believe so either. I mean, I'm sure Anthony Hopkins will be nominated for the Oscar.
Of course.
They love him. Yeah. And he hasn't done anything Oscar-worthy in ages, but he's Anthony Hopkins. I don't know. I feel like any one of these could win, except for the Two Popes. I'm not really surprised by any of these either, because... I don't know. You have 5 scripts to choose from. I don't really know what they prefer, but the Oscars does things a different way. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting when we get to the Oscars.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, baby, the leaves are brown, and the sky is green.